Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
We've got the man himself, Ben Johnson, joins us. Mully and Haw on the score.
To make his big league debut.
Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Good morning there, Mully.
Was Chicago always a destination for you professionally? Even before you got to Detroit, even before this job became a possibility, did you, in your wildest dreams, always think, well, one day, I want to live here. I want to have my family here.
David, I tell you this, man. It's the time I've spent here last few years, there's no question that that helped me find comfort. We are in the entertainment industry, and we are entertainers.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Good morning.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We have a Super Bowl. We have contact. We have liftoff. We have a game. It's going to take 2 weeks.
Morning, Mully. Yeah.
Get ready for the hype,
Monday,
Mr. David.
We can already look ahead. 2 weeks of hype. It will be 2 weeks of familiar hype because this matchup just happened, it seemed. Not that long ago, both teams back, the Eagles and the Chiefs, doing what they needed to do in championship victories on Sunday. Yeah. Good day of football.
A coincidence.
No. First game was a little bit dull because of lack of drama. Second game, I think, lived up to the hype because of the way that it came down to the final possession. So
let me just stop here for a second. So you had a team score 55 points,
yeah,
the most points since the merger in 1970, and it was boring?
I don't think I said boring. I think it said it lacked drama.
Okay,
so it wasn't close, and the lack of a close game may have bored some people. I think that when you look at the Eagles, you appreciate the way that they're winning this season and the way that they traditionally have won. That's the best offensive line in football,
right?
And that running back is as exciting of a player as there is in the game.
Wow.
And Saquon Barkley just did it again.
I wonder how you get a guy like that.
Well, you pay him.
Oh, wait a minute.
You make him an offer to come to Walter Payton City and to emulate Sweetness, and you pay him more than anybody. I guess that was the old Bears. They didn't get it done. Maybe if this were the offseason and he were available, they would get it done because they're doing things, big things at Alice Hall. But Saquon Barkley was there for anyone's taking, and the Eagles seized the opportunity, and they're going to the Super Bowl. And I think that you've got to like their chances to win it. I know it's early. We'll talk about it for 2 weeks. But when you see the way that they can control the line of scrimmage, that's how you win football games.
Pretty wild to see Saquon Barkley in the pregame. He's got a knee brace on. He takes it off before the game because he says he doesn't need it. That was kind of wild to see the difference in how his leg looked with the brace on and with the no brace. I don't think he needed it, David. He looked like he didn't need anything.
Barkley?
No.
You mean Jalen Hurts?
I'm saying Hurts.
Yes,
yeah,
Jalen Hurts definitely.
I thought he'd be worse.
That was the drama, I think.
Right.
That was the dramatic moment. It's almost as if once he freed himself from that,
it was like watching Forrest Gump run.
It freed him mentally and physically, yeah. And then he managed that game. He was difficult to stop, and he was the old version of Jalen Hurts. He hasn't had the greatest of seasons.
No,
but. And I think that yesterday when it mattered most, he came through in the clutch. And what do we always say about Jalen Hurts? He's a winner.
And that's what I think Nick Sirianni said in the post game. He wins.
Is that what he said?
He said he wins.
Is that the translator?
I don't know. That guy.
That guy's the luckiest coach in the NFL.
How that guy is there.
I want to give him respect. You're going to have to help me over the next 2 weeks to forge a little bit more respect than I currently have for Nick Sirianni. I think you do have to look at what he's been able to accomplish since he took over the job. And he overcame the first disastrous press conference.
It was awful.
That roster, though, is what it's all about.
Yeah, they got a really nice defensive tackle. I don't know if you ever looked for a player like that anywhere.
Yeah.
If you could find a guy like that somewhere. Holy God.
You think of the Bears every time that Jalen Carter wrecks a game plan, don't you?
King Kong. Every time he
nobody can
crawls
block him.
On a building.
At one point in time,
great.
And I remember this stat because I did write, I marked it on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles defense had played 44 snaps. Jalen Carter is a big man, and he's a defensive tackle. He had played 40 of those 44 snaps. That's not a rotation.
No.
That's not a...
No, they abandoned the rotation when they got into the playoffs, I think.
And look, that was against an offensive line with the Commanders, very good, and was a very big reason why they were where they were.
And a lot of people complained about it. A lot of people that I know were not happy to see the Kansas City Chiefs get to yet another Super Bowl attempt now to win three in a row. And guess what? They got a better chance than any team ever.
And I think you can never discount them and rule them out. And I don't know that you could – I don't look at that game, and I know this is seems like the minority based on what we see on social media, because it's been a loud reaction to the refereeing and the officiating in that game.
Again,
I don't understand – that necessarily. I get what plays they're talking about, the spots and where the ball was and everything that you want to point to as a reason why they were able to beat the Bills or the Bills were not able to continue drives or whatever the case may be. I don't look at this as a game where the officiating had the ultimate say. Dalton Kincaid catches that pass and they may have still been playing well into the night. You don't know how long that game would have gone. You don't know what would happen next. The Bills had an opportunity, even after these calls. And I don't know. They went into the game, and there was so much noise about Patrick Mahomes and flopping and the stats about roughing the passer penalties versus the Chiefs and against the Chiefs. It just seemed like a bit much. They're not in the Super Bowl with a chance to make history because the officials escorted them all the way.
Right.
I don't think so.
No, I don't believe that either. But a lot of people feel that way. And, here's the thing. Okay, so there was like a really close Josh Allen. Did he get there? Did he not? It was really close.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no evidence to overturn the call they went with, which at first one official said he made it, and then the other guy was on the line. No, he didn't.
And they were on opposite sides of the line.
Yes.
And you could break down the film, and you could actually look at it and talk yourself into saying, well, that was a bad spot. I think it screams for some type of technology mm-hmm. where the ball is has a chip, yeah, and they should be able to measure this much better than they do. But that one play, was that the determinant the outcome?
I would say, though, that when you take a risky fourth down, that's the downside. Mm-hmm. The downside is if you're ruled you didn't make it, then you lose the ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like I didn't see anything that made me feel like you could overrule what they went with on the field.
I did not either. And yeah. we might be, you know, the two guys are – we might be in the minority
right.
because there's a lot of reaction.
People, oh, I know.
And I think sports gambling has something to do with how loud the reaction is. And I understand that. It's not the bunch of – I think the Bills Mafia didn't just expand to include two-thirds of America. But it does seem like – people are a little tired of the Chiefs getting to the Super Bowl. I don't understand the fatigue over Patrick Mahomes necessarily.
Yeah, I don't either. He's a really good player, man. He's so good.
It's a likable dynasty.
Yeah.
I don't know which way I'm going on the game yet. It would be fun to talk about. But I don't look at the Chiefs. You might be tired of seeing them, but they don't annoy me. I don't really see why they would annoy people. It doesn't have the... You look at Andy Reid, he's a pretty humble leader of this group.
Yeah, yeah, he's a very likable guy. I watched the Today Show Friday when I got home. I had it taped, and they were out at all the different cities, and the one from Kansas City, they had this lookalike who was trying to talk, and then he saw a cheeseburger, and then he dove in on the cheeseburger, and I was sitting there, I was kind of laughing at myself, like, that's actually not inaccurate. You know, that is actually a great portrayal and a really funny way of looking at Andy because he likes to eat. What the hell? Who cares?
He leans into his characterization as well. He's not bothered by it.
No.
And the greatness of Andy Reid is reflected by the stat going into this game that is just remarkable. He is the winningest coach for both franchises.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
He is the winningest coach for the Eagles, and he is the winningest coach for the Chiefs.
And, you know, Donovan McNabb, Chicago guy, made good. He got to five consecutive NFC championship games when he was in Philly. They went to one Super Bowl, and they lost. And Patrick Mahomes is just – he just added an element that the coach didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And Donovan McNabb was a great player, and I'm not saying he wasn't. I'm just saying that there is this element to Mahomes that I would not wager against.
Well, there's an element to Mahomes that makes him special in a way that only a handful of other quarterbacks in NFL history can relate to or compare to. And Donovan McNabb, as great as he was, you still, with the game on the line, with 45 seconds to go or whatever, however much time Patrick Mahomes ever needs, you still would want the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hand. And he's in a position now, as much as the comparisons we'll hear, Tom Brady never won three in a row.
Right.
And
right.
At this stage of Patrick Mahomes' career, if he wins three in a row and has four Super Bowl titles to his credit, and he's looking at another decade in the league... It's remarkable that he can...
Has he turned 30? Because this is his fifth Super Bowl.
I don't believe he's 30 yet.
I mean, he's right on the verge of that, but it's extraordinary the success the guy's had.
It is, and they do it with a variety of... I hesitate to call them weapons because they are weapons, but there's not any real singular focus. You have to stop, and you stop the Chiefs. You know, it's Mahomes. Kelsey is always the guy that you always think
everybody
traditionally
defends.
But he did not have a good game yesterday.
Well, he got tons of attention, and that helped Xavier Worthy have a really good game.
Xavier Worthy came through, but it was his day. Whose day will it be Super Bowl? You don't know because they don't really have. Maybe it'd be DeAndre Hopkins because it's a big moment and he'll rise to the occasion. But there is never, and this is on brand for the Chiefs. You'll seldom have they ever had that dominant Devontae Adams type number one wide receiver. Whether Tyreek Hill was for a while.
I was going to say.
But since he left, they got almost better.
Since he left, they keep winning, and he wants out of Miami, apparently.
Maybe he can go back. But you know what I mean? Is like,
no, I when know they had what you him, mean.
They won a Super Bowl. He was there, and he
great
was.
Player.
Thought, oh, gosh, how are they going to react to this? oh my gosh, it's the offense. It's the star of the offense because and Mahomes is always there. And as long as that's the case, he and Kelce will find a way.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's an amazing story, and I don't feel negative about it at all. I think when someone is playing as well in the big moments as he is, talking about Mahomes, I don't know how you complain about it. I guess you feel bad. That is the nature of life, though. There are great sportsmen that never win titles because there is a dominant figure who is winning all the titles.
You're talking about Josh Allen now? Yeah.
Yeah. Josh Allen. I think there are a lot of people that really like Josh Allen. Oh, and he's incredibly likable.
You could get an argument about that because I don't think Josh Allen did anything to diminish his stature, and yet people will say that he's got to win a Super Bowl before they put him in a certain level. I respect that and understand it. But when I look at Josh Allen, I don't see a guy who's
letting his team down.
He's not letting his team down at all.
Right.
He's got 7 playoff victories. Yesterday, he did everything he could.
It's incredible.
And yeah,
but it's like Peyton Manning and Tom Brady keeps winning. You know, it's like Michael Jordan and keeps winning and line them all up.
Manning won 2 Super Bowls.
Oh, I know. He eventually won.
It took a while.
Yeah.
I look at it as much as right now, at this stage of his career, he's like the Chicago way of looking at it. He's like Patrick Ewing.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good
back
one.
Back in the 90s, he's Patrick Ewing and Michael Jordan's in his way historically. And there's other guys like Karl Malone.
Charles Barkley.
Exactly. So
yeah, there's plenty of them from that era.
Josh Allen, you don't feel sorry for him, but you understand he's up against history right now. So I don't know that takes away from who he is or has become as a quarterback, because what more could he have done?
I told you I got a good friend, a dear friend, who just can't stop wagering against the Chiefs. And I was pleading with him, do not do it. Like, don't. Just why do it? Why? Like, you're the same thing keeps happening over and over again.
I thought the Bills were going to win that game, though.
I know you did.
I just thought the Bills were going to win that game.
In the game, did you?
No. Before last week, we were talking about it. I think I talked myself into the fact that this was the year that Mahomes and something would run, they'd run into it, because it's inconceivable to try to win 3 Super Bowls in a row. I'm still not sure about the game in a couple weeks, but the Bills with James Cook, I thought, would be able to control the line of scrimmage, like much like the Eagles did against the Commanders. But I underestimated the Chiefs' defense. They called a blitz at the exact right time, the right blitz on the 4th down. Josh Allen threw the ball up for grabs. And Dalton Kincaid still could have come up with that, Molly.
Mm-hmm.
That was a catchable pass.
Well, first of all, it's really difficult because how low it was and everything. But he dropped that. That's a drop. That ball went between his arms.
It's not a Mark Andrews level drop.
No,
where you're sitting in there in the end zone and that's like a highlight. And people are like, oh, Jesus.
Good point. Yeah.
But it is a play he should have made.
Well, you got to make that play.
He's a first round draft pick. He's a tight end who's a very good tight end. But
if you're going to win a Super Bowl, if you're going to get to the Super Bowl, you got to make that play.
Kelce catches that ball. You know what I mean?
That's the difference.
It's like when you have a guy and you're making the comparisons and you're trying to get over this historical hurdle, you've got to make plays like that to clear it.
Difficult play. Makeable play.
Yeah.
And you got to make it if you're going to have those moments. And I mean, Spags has the corner blitz going. And I mean, there was it was incredible that he got the ball out, quite frankly. But that was a catchable pass.
It definitely was. What about the most overlooked guy of this dynasty, I think, is Steve Spagnuolo. Steve Spagnuolo, the Chiefs defensive coordinator.
Right.
Because he's a guy that we seldom talk about as the next head coach anywhere. He maybe's had a couple other bites at the apple in interviews. But when you talk about their greatness, it's always Mahomes, Kelce, Andy Reid. Who do you put first? That defense has come around in a way this year.
Carried him this year.
It's carried him. And he has been very understated and underrated in that role. And now I wonder if he will get some of his due in the build-up to the game, because without that blitz on 4th down, without certain things that happen along the way, the Chiefs aren't where they are.
I'll tell you what. He's a hell of a coach, and he's just probably not a head coach. He's been a head coach, and it hasn't worked out for him. But I wouldn't think that there's anything wrong with being unable to kind of manage to keep getting head coaching jobs. He's done a great job. I mean, a fantastic job.
I think it's going to be hard for him now. I mean, just based on his age.
No, it's not going to happen now. But,
and now he's probably I was stunned. Okay. Every time I hear him talk, I am reminded just how he has maintained his Boston accent while living all these years in Kansas City and elsewhere. Right. He was interviewed after the game. I'm like, whoa, okay, that guy should be at Fenway Park or in Boston talking about the Patriots dynasty or comparing it, because he's from Massachusetts and he's now been with the Chiefs since 2019, been part of every one of these last Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's got to go down as one of the best assistant coaches ever in the NFL.
He's been huge because Andy lets him do everything. Andy is the offensive guy. We all know that. And Spags is the defensive guy and does an unbelievable job.
He also started with the Eagles, so that's a nice little sidelight to this Super Bowl. A lot of good little storylines. Saquon Barkley.
A lot of crossovers.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl is good for the league.
Who's Jason Kelce cheering for?
That's going to be, oh gosh, we're going to hear so much of him over the next 2 weeks.
Oh, I know.
Oh, goodness sakes.
Yeah. Couple of texters want us to give Matt Nagy his due. Okay, Matt Nagy's on the staff there. All right, he gets his due.
He's right there. He's front and center on the sideline. You see him all the time during timeouts. He's in Patrick Mahomes' ear. That's his role right now, and you do have to give him credit. This will be, he fell upward.
Yeah,
I think you could make the argument, and this is interesting. And thanks for bringing that up, texters. Matt Nagy gets fired from the Bears, ends up as a Chiefs offensive coordinator. Could be a better job because he's won Super Bowls. Could be a better job than the one he had in Chicago. Matt Eberflus gets fired from the Bears.
Winds
he's now
Dallas.
The Dallas defensive coordinator. You could make the argument that's a better job in terms of pressure, compensation. He's getting paid by two people now. These guys are falling upward.
Does he take the Giant E with him to Dallas?
I don't know.
They made it there, right? He had that when he was an assistant in Dallas.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
Maybe he goes, does he go back to the same house?
I don't know.
Did he ever sell the house?
I'm sure he's going to, right?
I bet you he could have sold the house in Dallas because the E could have also stood for Ewing. You know how big the Ewing family is in Dallas.
They own all the things. They own all the oil wells, I believe.
I think they do.
If that television show was correct.
What? Was that wasn't real?
No, the 1 year was lost because the guy was asleep.
That's right.
Didn't they do that?
Dream that or not?
Yeah, they had a dream.
But how about Matt Eberflus landing on his feet?
Yeah, good for him. We always said he was a good defense.
Matt Nagy landing on his feet.
Yeah, good for him. We always said he was Matt Nagy.
So the Cowboys and Matt Eberflus come to Chicago next year. I think that on the schedule they will play the Bears at Soldier Field. That'd be fun.
Okay. Yeah. What do you think of the new staff? It's coming together. Coming together. It's happening.
A lot of moves. You know, the fact that it's come together as quickly as it had is a bit of a surprise. News started breaking Friday night. They started adding guys. They have
Antoine Randall L.
Yeah, Antoine Randall L. I think that
local guy made good.
Yes. I love that hire. I mean, I love it. This is a guy that was a star high school quarterback at Thornton.
Yep.
Good enough baseball player to be drafted by the Cubs. Played a year of basketball at IU for Bobby Knight. And then he threw a touchdown pass in the Super Bowl as a receiver to Hines Ward, your guy.
Yep.
And Antoine Randall L. has done it all, and he's got a great personality. And yet the indelible clip for Bears fans, if they remember this, might have been against the game against the Lions. He was chewing out Jameson Williams on the sidelines.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we have a standard, and you're not meeting it. Get in line. You know, I love that.
Former
about
player,
him.
You love that stuff. You love guys that have played the game.
You do love that.
Dealing with players, and that was great. Dennis Allen, what do you think of Declan Doyle? That is the young wunderkind who has come in. He's 28, and he's the youngest offense coordinator now. He's not a play caller.
Not a play caller, but it's good for his career to have this this title on his resume.
Yep.
He's considered to be one of the up-and-comers. And if Sean Payton believed in him, and now he's getting the stamp of approval from Ben Johnson, that really speaks well to where he is in terms of respect around the league. Don't know much about him.
Think a guy like Ben Johnson interviews a guy like that and sees some of himself in him?
Absolutely. You know, probably about a 10-year age difference.
Yep.
And, you know, can see some of the brightness, some of the football intelligence that he saw in himself 10 years ago. And he has to be doing something right. Sean Payton, I think, probably wanted to keep him in Denver. And it seemed like the Bears targeted him. So he's got a reputation. He doesn't have to call plays, but you can see him representing the offense and the Bears well when he has to do that. It's a good learning experience for him. That's an interesting hire. Dennis Allen, the most interesting thing about Dennis Allen is not that he has all this experience or all this good track record as a DC. It's that I don't think he knew Ben Johnson
right
before this.
Yeah.
And the staff is very exciting, and we can talk about staffs, and people will get really excited about that. But that's I didn't realize that.
Huh.
I thought they were had some sort of...
There was some connection.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, the Dan Campbell connection is what brings them together. But the fact they've never worked together before...
It's interesting. I still hope they hire Hank Fraley. That's a joke. They're not hiring Hank. Stop it, Molly. All right, we got to get to the pick six. We got a lot of good questions tearing up everything that went down this weekend. And there's Cubs news. There's Sox news? Okay. And we'll pick it apart next. Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
It's Pick Six with Molly and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Molly Haw. Pick Six with Molly and Haw starts now.
What do you make of Ben Johnson's coaching staff after he hired D.C. Dennis Allen, as expected, retained special teams coordinator Richard Hightower as feared, and added a bright young coach in Declan Doyle, who is 28, is believed to be the youngest O.C. in the NFL. Allen has been a head coach. Doyle was the tight end coach with Denver. Hightower, the holdover.
It sounds like a pretty good staff. Sounds like, you know, I like Dennis Allen a lot. That's kind of the guy, the former head coach at a couple different stops, has been through some things. Good to see some veteran presence on the staff. Richard Hightower has been here. We're certainly familiar with him. It's really interesting that he chose a young guy, too. I just find that kind of, you know, when he's, how old is he? 28 years old? I know he went to Iowa and started out as a graduate assistant there. That's not that long ago, right? I mean, he's a relatively young dude. He was like a student offensive assistant when he was at Iowa. So good for him. Good for, good for the Bears. If the guy's got a good reputation, I think we'll get a you know, his dad was a strength coach at Iowa, so you know he had a connection there and was around that program for a long time. I don't mind young people. I think it's a good thing to have. I think you know, the other thing is he can kind of groom the guy. So yeah, I like Antoine Randall-El. There's been talk about an offensive line coach, but not hired yet. So we'll wait and see how that goes. But yeah, I think he's moving quickly, and he got a lot of work done in a week.
Star-studded?
Is this the star-studded group that people had talked about? That, of course, our friend Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, will be on with you guys tomorrow. I got a little bit excited over the weekend when I saw that they were talking to Shaw to potentially be the offensive coordinator. So then with Dennis Allen and Shaw, you would have had two guys been there, done that, mm-hmm. maybe to help Ben Johnson out a little bit. I'm really excited. Mully, you mentioned local guy made good, Antoine Randall-El. That, to me, that's kind of the home run hire, and I'm surprised. I did not think, you know, that they were going, the Bears with Ben Johnson were going to go up to Detroit and take guys. Here's the other thing that's going on. We've got guys coaching the Bears that have played football at a high level as coaches, you know, as players and now coaches. And I think that helps. I think players, it's very relatable. And I think that helps a ton. So I think it's, I'm excited. Again, the young guy, groom him. You know what this 28-year-old's going to do? He's going to work all the time. He's going to listen to everything Ben Johnson tells him to do, and he's going to do it. And I think that's a good thing as well.
Yeah, I think it's interesting to see how this staff looks at the use of ex-players in a way that the Dan Campbell built his staff with the Lions. So you have Antoine Randall-El, who's very exciting. He's a great interview. He's a great guy to have in any sort of football setting, any kind of sports setting. Looking forward to his inclusion in that staff. But you also have JT Barrett from Ohio State coaching quarterbacks. You have Al Harris, who is getting probably more than your typical secondary coach to come to Chicago from Dallas. And you have in Al Harris, JT Barrett, and Antoine Randall-El, some guys who have playing experience that can relate to players in a way that maybe other guys can't. Then you have the experience of Dennis Allen coming from the Saints as a former head coach, respected as a coordinator under Sean Payton. He's not going to see anything that surprises him necessarily. He, to me, is as much of a comp to Matt Eberflus because of the scheme and because of the experience level. So that gives you that kind of good feeling about your defense. I don't know necessarily. The only question I had, as I mentioned earlier, he's never worked with it and even doesn't even know Ben Johnson personally, and hopefully that will be something they can get past quickly, and that doesn't necessarily mean they can't work together, but it was a little bit of a surprise. Declan Doyle is one of the young coaching prodigies, it sounds like, at 28, an offensive coordinator in the NFL. Do we know how young the youngest NFL offensive coordinator ever has been? I can't imagine anybody being younger than that. But Declan Doyle does have a good reputation, and it's getting even better. And Richard Hightower, he obviously had a tough year with all the things that the special teams encountered, finished strong, but I guess you do need some people on his staff that can relate to the players in a way that, you know, just a holdover, a guy that can communicate and bridge two different staffs together, and I guess he's that guy on this one.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time is 7 this morning on the Bears Banter podcast with Bill Zimmerman. Ben Johnson's agent Rick Smith revealed that Johnson didn't make his mind up until last Monday morning. Suggested that Smith manipulated much of the media coverage of Johnson's candidacy for the last month or so.
Ben made a decision Monday morning.
Monday morning after the Lions lost?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That was the first time we ever ranked the teams. The first time. We weren't ready to do that, and I wouldn't let him do that. The Sunday night after the Lions were defeated by the Commanders was the first time that I was able to finally complete to make Ben a presentation, and his wife, he and his wife, a presentation of all of the information, allow him to ask questions, allow him to be able to make an informed decision. He woke up Monday morning, called me at, I don't know what time it was in the morning, and said, you know, call the Bears and see if you can get a deal done.
All right, that was Rick Smith on the Bears Banter podcast. Your reaction to what you just heard from Rick Smith?
We have heard from agents in the past who like to speak in front of microphones and put on a show. Scott Boras comes to mind, Drew Rosenhaus, pretty good showman. I don't recall any interview I've heard with an agent that has been this revealing in terms of the process. Rick Smith basically led us inside his head for the last 2 months and went through the decisions to not say something or to manipulate the news coverage or whatever the case may be. He took us inside the negotiation process in a way that we aren't typically privy to. He complimented the Bears process in terms of casting a wide net, kind of learning what they don't know about themselves and knowing that they didn't know a lot about the rest of the league and how he knows all 32 teams, but the Bears don't because they're so insular. And that was part of the process in gathering information. And then he complimented Kevin Warren for stepping up. Now, certainly he is the agent that benefits from a $13 million salary for his client, but I do think that the level of insight that we got from that interview, it's a podcast worth listening to if you are curious about how Ben Johnson arrived at the decision to pick the Chicago Bears, because it sounds like this was gradual and then all at once, but it seems like he always had a respect for the Bears and getting to know all the things that we thought were true and why those maybe were things that were plants, and that's his word, not ours. Very fascinating stuff.
Very fascinating stuff indeed, David. You hit it out of the park with that answer. Really riveting, shocking to me. Listen to that on Friday evening, and I'm surprised. I really am. But it is a unbelievable deep dive into how this happened. And I think you and Mully both, David, talked about Kevin Warren, who had the best day, and you learn more that how big of a role Kevin Warren had on this all coming together. It's super interesting stuff.
Yeah, and in fact, I would say anyone interested in how the NFL works, what the inner workings are, and how agents control and kind of manage the message, really ought to give it a listen, because it's incredibly insightful. I got to tell you, it's not often like I've had conversations where people tell you stuff like this, not on the record conversation.
That's the thing. It's stunning. This is like an off-the-record conversation.
That's what I'm saying. None of it takes me by surprise other than the fact that it's for public consumption.
That's the point.
That is absolutely unbelievable, to be honest with you. So I think it's well worth listening to. The detail of it is fantastic. And if you care about this stuff or are in any way interested, that's one to really digest and think about for a little bit.
That's a great question.
All right, here's another great question. Do you feel a sense of relief that Jaden Daniels is finally out of the playoffs? Do you imagine Caleb Williams does? Any doubt that Daniels will have a better career than Caleb? How long before that will be determined?
Oh, I think there's plenty of time to determine that, right? But, I mean, that's about as good a rookie year as we've seen, frankly, in the NFL. Dan Marino fell to the Dolphins, and they got to a Super Bowl when he was a rookie, right? So this is a game away. But it's still incredible. And the thing that Marino used to say is that after that year, he just thought, he'd be back. And he never went back. He never got a Super Bowl. He got one appearance as a rookie, and that was it. And he's considered one of the greatest quarterbacks in NFL history. So it just speaks to how difficult it is to win in the NFL and how you don't know that everything is aligned for you until you're years in, frankly. There have been plenty of quarterbacks in NFL history that have struggled a bit in their rookie season, mostly because they're on really bad teams. Think about Troy Aikman and Peyton Manning are great examples of that. But it's a kind of a regular thing. We've seen a couple of guys now in the last couple of years that have come in and had great seasons and gotten to the playoffs, and extraordinary, really, that that they got to this point, that Washington got to that point. But, yeah, I think that it is kind of a relief that they're not in the Super Bowl. That would have been a little bit much, I think. But, you know, Caleb's got tons of time and hopefully the right man to get him where he needs to be.
Well, that's it right there, Mully. Hopefully the right guy is in town and the right staff is being put together, and then they have to get the right offensive line put together. And then I think this conversation isn't over. I think there's obviously room for Caleb to grow, and I think he wants to grow. He sounds excited about the what's ahead with Ben Johnson coming aboard. It was a magical season for the Commanders. How about over the weekend, the report coming out that Daniel Snyder is absolutely furious and hates the success that the Washington football team Commanders are having since he sold the team. I thought that was very interesting as well.
Jaden Daniels set a record for rookie passing yards in the postseason, and he's always going to have that until somebody breaks it. But his record-setting season is one of the best ever for a rookie quarterback, probably better than C.J. Stroud's, and we thought that was the best ever. So you can never take that away from him. In the NFL, though, it's difficult to sit here and say with certainty that he's going to have a better career than Caleb Williams. You're probably safe, on safe ground. The majority would agree with you, but we have seen examples before, and you keep going back to the RG3 and Andrew Luck example of one season is terrific, and this Commanders were the best story going. Now he's got to do it again, and there's reason to believe he can. You do worry about his durability because he does expose himself, but he's such a special player. Maybe he can find ways to absorb those hits or avoid those injuries. So I think that's going to be something we continue to monitor. The fact that Chicago was spared 2 weeks of more Jaden Daniels praise, probably good for some element of Bears fans that are ready to move on to the Ben Johnson era, a process that began last week. But I don't think that him getting eliminated at this round changes much about the comparison this year. Caleb Williams still has a ton of ground to close before he's in the same category as Jaden Daniels, because Jaden Daniels, what he did this season, is always going to be special.
It's a really good question.
Voice of Ross Tucker. He was in Philly on the sidelines for Westwood One of the NFC Championship game, joining you guys at 8 this morning. What'd you think of the Cubs trading for Astros $14 million closer Ryan Pressly, who reportedly needed assurances that he would be the closer before waiving his no-trade clause? How important is it that the Cubs get an answer on Presley's former teammate, free agent, third baseman, Alex Bregman?
I want more clarity and information on this reported agreement that Ryan Pressly would be the closer for the Cubs. And that would be what sparked him or allowed him to approve the deal. You know, his wife is on social media saying how difficult it will be to leave Houston, and you have some empathy for a young family that's doing that. And nobody can ignore the human aspect of being a professional athlete. I'm underwhelmed by this trade because he's 36 years old and he might be coming here reluctantly. I know that's a small thing, but I kind of want somebody excited to be getting the ball in the ninth inning at Wrigley Field when you're trying to shut down the Brewers or the Dodgers or whoever. And I don't know if he fits. And then if he is here and he's guaranteed the ninth, is that a good idea? We've seen from the Hector Neris experience, you don't want to guarantee anything about ex-Astros relievers, about just guys who have done it on the back of their baseball card before. So I'd be more excited about Bregman than Pressly. I like the deal because it does at least show the Cubs' willingness to pay top dollar for somebody whose reputation and results have been stellar. But I don't know where he fits, and I don't know what he was promised, and I'm very curious.
Yeah, it is very curious. Hopefully Bruce can clear some of that up at 7:40 when he joins you guys. This is kind of like protection for Porter Hodge. Porter Hodge looks like the kind of guy who's got the makeup that he could be a guy to save games for a long time for the Cubs, but it's a ton of pressure to put on the guy. That's why I think the Cubs, and part of the question with Alex Bregman, you know, Matt Shaw, it's a ton of pressure for him to be the opening day third baseman. Do they need somebody behind him? See, here's the difference. Like, If Bregman came to the Cubs, then Matt Shaw won't be on the major league roster. You know, they're not going to use him as a utility guy. He'll be starting in AAA. But there's also reports that part of what the Astros are doing here is freeing up some more money to get Bregman back with the Astros. So we have to wait and see.
Yeah, I'm glad they did it. I think that he's a guy who's got some experience. He's a guy who is, was hurt last year. You hope that he's healthy now, and that is good to have a veteran hand at the back of the rotation. I don't know that suddenly your 25 blown saves are going to be cut in half, but you know he's you now have a guy with age on him and a young guy trying to man that closer position. I kind of like maybe the old veteran hand can steady some things. Whatever they gave up for him, it couldn't have been much because you're talking about a guy that's going to be here for a year, hopefully, and you're talking about a guy that probably at the back end and has agreed to finish out here. And the fact that they send you money too tells you they didn't think much of him.
It makes me wonder though if Dustin is right. If this ends up costing them Alex Bregman, I think I will like it less.
Well, Bregman apparently is now close to being able to resign with the Astros. They said at their fan convention that they have saved money on this one.
I know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Hmm.
Terrific question. Need to get that answered. Don't have it for you today.
That is the voice of Bruce Levine. He'll be talking Cubs and White Sox at 7:40. What was the biggest news coming out of Sox Fest? Was it Will Venable getting ready for year one? Colson Montgomery on the way, young lefties Noah Schultz, Hagen Smith en route, or the July 11th unveiling of a statue for Mark Burley?
I think it was the Burley statue. I think that was the only real news that came out of it. I mean, I think that the Colson Montgomery, the young pitchers going to camp, I think all that will be big stories at camp. And I think the future is obviously a lot more exciting than the present. But we will be monitoring those stories and the new manager and all that stuff. But just having Burley back, he rarely leaves the hunting hide. And to have him come in and mention that he got a call from Jerry about a statue, that was neat. It was good. And, I'm a big Burley guy. Love Mark Burley.
Yeah, I think the Mark Burley statue is pretty cool. It's good news. I thought it was also interesting. I saw on Bruce's social media that the chairman was in attendance, but then disappointed that the chairman didn't speak. And I think that would have been a good opportunity for him to address the people who decided to show up for Sox Fest.
Yeah, I was there on Saturday night, checked it out, and the Romova Theater was a really quaint setting, really good idea because of the size of the fan base is maybe that was conducive to what they wanted to do, what they wanted to accomplish. It was a good first step back, I felt like, and they did it well. The biggest news clearly was Mark Burley because it was the biggest surprise. It came a day earlier. It was a smart way to honor somebody who may not get into the Hall of Fame, 11% vote, but he certainly will be remembered forever now, immortalized in bronze outside the rate. And I don't think that's a bad idea. I think it was something that people were talking about, created a little bit of a buzz. The young players that were there, you would like to see more players maybe attend. The youth movement is on. George Wolko is kind of an entertaining guy, kind of a funny guy. Seems like he's going to have a lot of personality whenever he gets up to the majors.
Paul Bunyan.
Yeah, Paul Bunyan. Colson Montgomery was there and a couple other guys. Brian Ramos was a guy that had a lot of pizzazz. Jerry Reinsdorf could have taken that opportunity, I think, to address everybody and everything. I think it would have been fine in a media setting. I do think that if he would have appeared in front of the fans that were there, there was a risk that would have gotten a little bit ugly because the sell the team chance would have been something that you have to recognize would have come, and it's not something that you wanted to invite necessarily. So if they had a more controlled setting, perhaps, but I understand why they didn't necessarily want to encounter that at a fan fest, something that they put a lot of time and money and effort into. And overall, it was a pretty good weekend for the Sox, and the Burley thing was at the top of the list.
I've answered this question, a lot, obviously.
Do you understand why the Blackhawks traded left winger Taylor Hall and his expiring $6 million contract as part of a three-way deal that resulted in the Blackhawks getting a third rounder next year and paying 50% of Mikko Rantanen's $9.2 million contract? Why trade a guy that Connor Bedard went to for answers?
So Kyle Davidson's going to address this later today, the Blackhawks general manager, and I'm glad he will because I want to understand it. I do, because I don't understand it. Connor Bedard went to Taylor Hall for answers at times. And I know Taylor Hall was a disappointment overall. Last year, he was injured, played 10 games. This year, he was a healthy scratch at times and didn't quite know where to fit. He was making $6 million a year. I thought that would make him hard to trade. Now, it turns out, they did find a taker for him. Carolina, better team. And now they're be part of this complex three-team deal, and they're retaining 50% of Rantanen's $9.2 million contract. They get a third rounder back. It was their third rounder they traded originally. So that's good. All I know is this tells me the Hawks have recommitted to going young and getting younger. They brought up Landon Slaggart. Now when they take the ice tomorrow night, 9 of the top 18 skaters will be 23 years or younger. That number was 3 at the beginning of the season. So all these veterans that they added in the offseason didn't do the job. That's disappointing. And I don't know how they get better or how Bedard gets better by taking away one of his mentors. So I want to hear Kyle Davidson's explanation because right now I'm a little bit confused.
Yeah, it's really confusing, David. The only thing, and always like a good conspiracy theory, maybe the Blackhawks didn't like the words or the advice or the impact that Taylor Hall was having on Connor Bedard and wanted to break up that bromance.
Could be.
I got to tell you, I think that you got a player who's still relatively young. How old is he? Rantanen. He's got to be like in his late 20s.
He's a star.
I know. I'm just saying.
But he's not coming here.
No, I know. But I'm just saying that the league shakes up
when a guy
moves, and you got in and took advantage of an opportunity to get rid of an expiring contract. I if a guy's not playing and someone's going to him for advice, that's great. But if you got a player, you need him to play. Coaches coach, players play. And you got rid of a big contract, you pick up a third round pick. Does it mean they're just rebuilding? I understand that. I'm just saying, I don't know what you were getting for him. I don't know what he was doing for you other than being there to talk to the young rookie. I just don't know. I guess there's value to that, but I wouldn't keep a guy on my team and pay him $6 million just to be a counselor. But that's me. I get a little weird about stuff like this, as you well know. All right, there we go. That's the pick six. We've got the extra point. It's a good one. We'll be right back. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 the score.
What is your initial take on the Super Bowl? Which way are you leaning after yesterday's championship games? Who needs the game more and why?
Well, I think the game will feel very familiar to people and think like they've seen this before, and they have, not that long ago, a couple Super Bowls ago. And it will be a matchup that will be different this time because Saquon Barkley will be making his first Super Bowl appearance. And that, to me, is as big of a story as anything. He is one of the best players in the NFL. You can make an argument for him being the MVP. Not a lot of people will want to hear that because it's a quarterback-driven award now. But Saquon Barkley has been as valuable to his team as any player in the league has been valuable to his respective team. And you see, it took one play yesterday to see why. First play from scrimmage, he just exploded.
That was unbelievable.
And obviously there was room to run. obviously the offensive line made the hole and created the space, but also the way that he finds an extra gear is special and historically good. I'm most excited about seeing him at this stage. I don't know if the who needs the game more and why is referencing legacies and reputations and statures and status. But if it is a reference to that, clearly Jalen Hurts needs this game more than Patrick Mahomes does. And if Sirianni wins a Super Bowl, I suppose he's going to put himself at a level that a lot of coaches will be envious of forever. That's still going to take a lot of time to process. So Jalen Hurts, I think, is the answer to who needs this the most. Saquon Barkley is the one who I'm looking forward to seeing the most, and I think that I'm leaning toward the Eagles as we sit here on Monday morning.
Interesting, leaning towards the Eagles. So this one, again, a couple weeks away. We've got a little time. We're going to talk about it a ton. I think it's a great matchup. I think it's the matchup that I predicted. It's definitely the matchup I wanted. I love the idea of the Chiefs going for a third straight Super Bowl. And remember, this is a rematch of a Super Bowl 2 years ago that was a great game, an excellent, excellent game. So if we can get a game like that we had in Super Bowl number 57, and the final score in that one was Chiefs 38, Eagles 35. If you can get that type of game, sign me up. That would be great for every football fan out there, assuming that you're not from Philadelphia. That would be a fantastic game. So I think this is a star-studded event. There's a lot of great players. I'm happy for Saquon Barkley. I think that's great. It's great for the running back position overall. And David, I agree with you. Let's save this. I agree with you. This is big for Jalen Hurts. Now, he's gotten there. Yes, we agree. He's gotten there, but now he's got to finish, right? Like, is he going to be the next Josh Allen, not being able to get the job done once you get to the game? But again, he's going against Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes has shut down a lot of great football players over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley, if you recall, the Bears, struck in free agency and got DeAndre Swift the minute free agency started. I remember watching the Hard Knocks with the New York Giants, and they were talking about Saquon Barkley and whether they were going to have him back or not. And Joe Schein is there, and he says something to the order of, "Well, the Bears might be interested. It could be the Bears."
Yeah,
and just for the record, Saquon Barkley signed a 3-year, $37.75 million contract. And to put that number in perspective, he's now in a backfield with Jalen Hurts, who had signed a $255 million contract. Running backs are not paid a lot of money in the NFL. That guy might be as good a running back as there is in the NFL. He has made as big an impact as anyone in the NFL. And if you like them in that game, part of the reason you like them is because he's on their team.
That's it. He is potentially, arguably, the greatest free agent signing since Reggie White in the NFL. If they win this Super Bowl,
if they win a Super Bowl,
because of him, he will put himself in that category. I think he's also, you mentioned the Giants. I saw a tweet yesterday, and this would be something that I chuckled at, because if you're in that city, in that market, you know these things by heart. All the legendary players they have let go through the Giants. It's Tom Landry, Vince Lombardi, Fran Tarkenton, Bill Parcells, Bill Belichick, and now Saquon Barkley. All guys who were Giants, and then they let him go, and then they achieved stardom elsewhere. That's an interesting. It's an interesting thing to look at in terms of free agency and the value of the running back position.
The value still, is highly paid as that appears to be. That is nothing. $37.75 million for a Super Bowl appearance? They don't get to this game without the guy.
They don't get to this game without him.
It's unbelievable what a good signing that was. And go get one. Get a guy like that if one of them ever pops open, right? Don't hesitate.
Well, you wonder if the Bears were even part of the conversation last offseason.
No, they had Swift.
Well, he was more affordable. Yeah. I wonder if they ever even had a meeting with Saquon Barkley's people.
I mean, all I heard was the general manager of the team that thought they were going to lose him say that Chicago was interested.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently not interested in winning. What? No. They've got their guy now.
Well, they are now.
Yeah, they've paid for
it. They are now. Yeah.
All right. It's just amazing the difference between a quarterback and a running back. It's just extraordinary. And there's a reason for that, because you can't hold up and you take too many hits and all the rest of it. We understand it. But, man, whew, that's a cheap, cheap price to pay for a Super Bowl. We've got the pick six. We've got your calls next, 312-644-6767. We're going to have Big Z at 7 o'clock. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
What's the latest? Just on the Saquon thing.
I just got a text that Chicago's driving the price up and Philly's out. I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm.
Which I don't know. I'll make a couple calls. I don't even know if that's going to happen. But
I'm going to have a tough time sleeping if Saquon goes to Philadelphia. I'll tell you that.
Hurts takes the snap. He gives it to Barkley. Barkley runs wide. Touchdown! His third of the day!
He's special.
Oops. There you go. That must not feel so good. I don't know if Mr. Mayor is doing much sleeping. That's John Mara on Hard Knocks talking about
it. Can you imagine
Saquon Barkley?
Your worst fear coming true,
yeah,
and being played out in such a national and international audience and stage. And then if on Super Bowl Sunday, I think, is that correct? It's Saquon Barkley's 28th birthday?
It's his birthday.
If on his 28th birthday, Saquon Barkley is the MVP of the Super Bowl, that puts the Eagles over the top, and you're a Giants owner, fan, coach, anybody who was involved in that decision to let him go, wow.
What about if you were involved in the decision that you gave DeAndre Swift a 3-year, $24 million deal, $8 million a year, as opposed to $12.5 million a year, what Saquon makes in his 3-year, $37.75 million deal?
Yeah, I don't know enough about that bidding to blame the Bears for not getting him. He would have been great in a Bears uniform. He had the connection with Walter Payton, I believe, was his hero, and all those things that I think we have talked about, and they talked about when the Bears played the Giants in the past. I look at Saquon Barkley, and I remember the day he got injured in 2020 at Soldier Field, and you wondered if he was going to be able to realize the greatness. He tore his ACL at Soldier Field. That was almost four and a half years ago, and he's still
better than ever.
Hall of Fame bound, Hall of Fame caliber.
Yeah. I'd say, especially depending on what happens in the Super Bowl.
Right.
I think that.
Well, if he wins the Super Bowl, I think he cements it.
312-644-6767. Let's get to Vaughn. He's listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Vaughn.
Hey, guys. Great show as always. This might make a lot of Bears fans mad, because they're all offensive line. But there's ways to fix the offensive line, obviously, with the cap space and then with your 2 second-round picks. With the way the running back position is kind of in vogue again with Johnsy and Derrick Henry and, heck, Cook and the kid in Indianapolis, is Aston Johnsy a real possibility at 10, just if you go BPA, and the fact that you know that the Lions took Jahmyr Gibbs right after signing David Montgomery? So there's a history there of Johnson understanding that two-headed attack. Do you guys think that's a realistic possibility? Because there's no Joe Alt in this draft. So I think you're reaching if you take a tackle at 10, if you don't trade back. So I just want to get your guys' thoughts on that.
I think it's a good question. It's a fair one. Will Campbell is the LSU offensive tackle that might be a guy that at 10 stands out to you. It's a little bit early to understand all of the nuances of this first round of the upcoming draft. Ashton Jeanty is a guy who I look at and I see that I would probably initially cringe at the idea, and yet Jahmyr Gibbs gives me pause that and gives us all caution that you don't dismiss it out of hand.
You got to look at everything, and I wouldn't dismiss it out of hand. I think the two tackles, will be long gone by the time the Bears pick at 10. I think that they may have to take a defensive end at the 10 spot, and they wouldn't get the best one. So there could be a couple off the board. I think it's something worth talking about as we get closer to the draft.
It'd be a great conversation topic, yes, because you cannot dismiss it. Jahmyr Gibbs and Ben Johnson together, yeah, we know what that looked like. And I think that
Sonic
also,
and Knuckles. That's
exactly.
Like.
And maybe worthy of a nickname. But I do believe also the trade down scenario could be in play. And if you did that and you got another player and then you drafted Genty with your first rounder, if you are lower in the first round, you could do a lot of different things. I don't know if Ashton Genty is going to be a Bear, but if he is, that tells me that the staff they put together likes what they saw, and we're all in kind of trust me mode. It's early.
Yeah, it is early.
The honeymoon is just beginning.
They get the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Mike is in Glencoe. Hey, Mike.
A little baseball before you talk to Bruce, guys. For those who saw, the Sox seem to have done a good job with their scaled-down Sox Fest, but they're still conning the fans. Chris gets up there saying, we're going to build the infrastructure, and that's great, but we haven't signed one major league player to play on this team this year. We need players. We don't need statues. And I'm just wondering at some point, will the Sox ever acknowledge we need to get some guys in major league uniforms with credibility to play on this year, or are we just going to sacrifice the season?
Mike, it's a good phone call. I think that if they go into spring training with this roster without signing somebody else, it's a fair criticism.
They are sacrificing this year.
They know what's going on, and they're not going to have any bloated payroll.
They're
going to
lose 100-plus games, and they know that.
They could lose 100 games and still be the most improved team in baseball.
Yeah, that's insane. It's ridiculous. But, I mean, they, you know, losing 100 games is really pretty awful. So
it is awful.
They're going to do that yet again, and that's part of what they're planning, and that's, you know, that's why the young guys are at the convention. Hey, these guys are on the way. Just wait till that.
We'd like to get another big arm or another big bat or another professional bat or professional arm.
Or like a professional player.
Like one or the other.
At any position.
Yeah.
They need help. Okay, we've got a lot to get to. Big's time next. We'll talk about the new coaching staff. Mully and Haw on the score.